Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Hey, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is kind of a big deal. Did you know that? It's a big deal. Come on, somebody say, I knew. And more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other time. Phone traffic going up as much as 37% on Mother's Day. Isn't that interesting? And more than 133 million Mother's Day cards exchanged. I hope one of those is yours. 4 billion spent on jewelry. 4 billion spent on brunch or dinner out. A little less. 2 billion on flowers. I thought this was interesting. The gift that moms most want. Do you know? Someone said money. Sorry for your mom. Okay, no, the gift mothers most want, quality, meaningful connection time with their family. 65% said that. The gift that mothers don't want, hope you didn't get this. Hope you don't run out. They'll know. If you jump up and run out, everyone will know. The gift that mothers most don't want, 95% said they do not want for Mother's Day a gym membership. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Well, I've been thinking a lot about my mom this week. Here's some pictures of my mom. This is when she was a little girl, and then here's me sitting on her lap, and then this is me. That's a little harder to see, but that's me with my mom just when I was a young pastor, and we were up at our cottage, and I think she caught me napping, and then later in life, she's been with the Lord since 2010. And so I've been thinking a lot this week. I went to the Christian Business Fellowship conference on Wednesday, and I'll tell you what, if you're in business, men or women, if you're starting a business, growing a business, maintaining a business, seeking to see how God connects with what you're doing, how to invite Christ into the center of what your career is, I got to tell you, you're missing out big time if you're not part of this. This is a great thing, and it's helping a lot of people. I hope you'll look into it more. I was super encouraged to go and spend some time there, and I so much can't get off my mind the theme of what I talked about, and then I think I've told you in the past that my mom used to whisper in my ear, they'd put us to work all the time, work on this, work on that, work on this, work on that. And people will say, you know, it must have been easy. Your dad was a school teacher. You guys had all that vacation. Not my dad. We built an addition on the house. We finished every room in the house 3 times. We put a pool in the backyard. Every time he wasn't teaching, we were working. And my mom would always whisper, Sherwood's as my middle name and her maiden name. Sherwood's know how to work. And you're a really good worker. And something good was installed there. So much so that I want to take the passage. I want to see if I can apply it, not just to mothers, but to everyone. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 25 and apply it to everyone who has some responsibility for somebody, for something. That would be a lot of people. Because I think sometimes we have really a wrong view, honestly, a wrong view of Jesus Christ. And because we're following Jesus Christ, we need to have, this is going to be a great spot for an amen. Because we're following Jesus Christ, we need to have a clear view of who he really is in mind. Come on. And so the scripture needs to shape that, not our own sense, not our own sensibilities, the scriptures themselves, how as Jesus reveals himself, not just by what he does, but by what he teaches. And if you would open to Matthew 25, we're going to look at one of Christ's parables. And the parables were Jesus' most common way of teaching. Someone has said an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but it's certainly a human story with some principles that apply to the life that he wants us to live. All that to say this, I've called this message a message my mom would love. And we're going to look at just the matter of how we influence effectiveness, quality performance in the lives of those around us. And so let me just, I'm going to read the whole parable, Matthew 25, 14. Are you on it? For it will be like it is the kingdom of heaven, if you look at verse 1. So here's several parables on that subject. The kingdom of heaven will be like, and then in verse 14, for it, implying the kingdom of heaven will be like, a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. People are always like, what's it like in heaven? What's it like in Christ's kingdom? Now we're finding out what it's like. It's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and, I'm going to need a negative reaction here, hang on, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, the master in the parable is Jesus Christ. The servant in the parable is everyone who professes to be a Christ follower. And before we even get into what the talents are, I've got 5 things to share with you. Jot this down first. Different people have different abilities. Accept it. It's pretty hard to miss that in the scripture here, but let's get first, what is a talent? Who knows what a talent is? What's a talent? Okay, well, it's not talking about like juggling, okay? Juggling would be a talent. A talent, the way we use the term, is something that you really worked at really hard for a long time, like if you're good at yo-yos, say. Or if you're like really good at magic, say. Okay, so I just looked at 2 people that I know have that talent. And that's because that's something you worked at for a long time. You're not born with that. Nobody's like, where did that come from? Everybody knows where it came from. You worked at it, all right? And that's how we tend to think of a talent. Actually, though, the way we use the word talent comes from this parable. That's where we got it. A talent actually was 20 years' wages, probably based on the original word, measured in silver. So think of 20 years' wages. This was not a small amount that was given to anyone. The first guy got, 100 years' wages. Just think of that. That's quite a resourcing of whatever work it is you need to do. But I think more importantly here is, what does it represent? The servants represent us. The master represents Jesus Christ. The talents, some have said it's time, but it isn't time. Because in the story that we just read, the person who used it, the talent well, got more. And I think we'd all agree that you can use what God gives you well and not get more of it. Isn't it true that some people have been faithful to the Lord and had a very short life? And isn't it also true that some people have been exceedingly unfaithful to the Lord and lived to their 90th birthday? And so it's not time. You don't get more for using it well. And it's not money. I don't know how many of you have had the blessing and the, sadly, sometimes the grief of traveling into a lot of different places in this world. But in the parable, everybody gets a substantive amount. The person who got one got 20 years' wages. And there's all kinds of places in the world where people today are waking up not knowing where their food's going to come from today. And we are most blessed among the people on the face of the earth. Someone say amen. Amen. And to be so grateful, we should always be. So the talent for sure doesn't represent money. Here's what it represents. It represents your capacity. Your capacity to be used by God for good in this world. It's not your work at church, though it includes that. It's not your work for your family's moms, though it includes that. It's not your career, though that would be involved too. It's your, listen, your total capacity to be used by God. Every person, every place you touch, every minute of every day, all of your, well, just here's some things. Notice it says in the text, each according to his ability. Each according to his ability. How focused are you? How determined and driven are you? How much time do you have? How much education do you have? What is your social support? What is your financial support? Do you come from a Christian home? Are you part of a good church? How long have you been a Christian? What is your physical health, your stamina, your intelligence, your social intelligence, your temperament? It's your total capacity to be used by God. Now, get this. Life really begins when you realize that you are here for God. You're like, what? What? And all God's people said, what? Oh, come on, more like me. And all, come on.
What?
What? Yeah, that's correct. You said, I thought that God was here for me. God is here for you. But that's supposed to be like the, what do you call those things when you're driving down the highway and you see that thing and you can stop on the side of the road? And Oasis, yeah, like an oasis or a roadside. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's supposed to be what suffering is. That's supposed to be what hardship is. That's supposed to be, there are those seasons where you got to pull off. I got to focus on something. We're in a bit of a valley right now, but that's not supposed to be life. God has more in mind for you than simply to survive. You are here for his kingdom, and that's why he's telling these parables, because we're supposed to be seizing a purpose and making a difference and shining a light and bearing fruit for a king. That's why we're here. And that's why church, hey, I'm sorry if you've been having a hard week. I'm going to pray for you at the end. But every week can't be about how to survive another week. You with me? Some weeks got to be about how to make a difference. Life is so short. Eternity is so long. I got to make a difference while I'm here. And that's what this parable is about. Different people have different abilities. We need to accept that. I wish I had accepted it sooner. Do you sometimes watch what other people are doing and wonder how you could do more? Do you sometimes dream that you could do what others are doing, or wish that you could do what others are doing, or worst of all, do you sometimes covet the opportunity to sing like others sing, or lead like others lead, or invest like others invest? Do you wish you had someone's artistic skill or someone's social skill? If only you could just believe that you have absolutely everything that you need to do what God wants you to do, and listen, that God is completely sovereign over everything that has happened in your life to date. God is in control. God is sovereign over everything that brought you to today and everything you need to maximize the rest of your life for him. Look, there's nothing missing. You have everything you need to do everything that God wants you to do. And God forgive us for letting the effectiveness and fruitfulness of others paralyze us and leave us on the sideline. Other people have been given more than you've been given, and all you have to do is maximize what you've been given. And trust me when I tell you, you are going to be asked to account for what you've done with what you've been given. Don't you think God knows what you have? Don't you think he has some ways that he wants to use that? Well, go to this with me. Different people have different abilities. That was so apparent in the text. Verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Before I move on, do you struggle with the idea that different people have different abilities? Does that seem unfair to you? Because the scripture says, Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much will be required. And if you've been given a lot of ability, then you're going to answer a lot. How many people here at church today are a first-generation Christ follower? Say, my parents, my grandparents, far as I know, we're not following Christ. Hold up your hand. But how many people, okay, all right, so how many people are second generation? My parents for sure were in the Lord and they've given that to me, okay? So that's a little more responsibility, right? And then how many people, I think my grandparents were following Christ too. Hands up if that was you. All right, my great-grandparents. See, if you're one, two, three, four generations into this, you got a lot to answer for. And a lot of people have been praying for you and believing that you're going to pick up and carry the torch in your generation and be faithful to God through every day of your life. And that's quite a gift you've been given. Different people have different capacities, really, would be a good way to say it. We should accept it. Then this, not every investment is a good one. Watch it. Notice in the text then, verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. Is anyone surprised by this? Don't you think that the master who had all accumulated all of this, don't you think he knew how to pick the right person to give five to? You can tell in the interview who to give five to. You're interviewing these different candidates, and you're like, we got to get her in here. She's gonna tear into this. And she's like, I don't need to go home. If you're hiring me today, why don't I just start today? Well, we can't start paying you until Friday. That's all right. I'll start right now. You know, that person versus the person who's like, oh, I'm so excited to have this job, but I gotta go tell my friends, and then I gotta finish up something I'm doing. Can I start in 3 weeks? That's already a bad problem. I need to have a cigar before I can start, just to celebrate my new job. Really? Really? Wish we hadn't hired them. See, and you start to see these patterns. No one should be surprised by the fact that the guy who got five also wanted to go to work. And then the other aggravating thing is, look how fast he does it. I mean, the way the text says it, he went at once and traded with them, and he made five more. Just bam. Now just remember what this is. He was given 100 years' wages. And then he had 100 more right away. Some people are like that. So fast, they make it look easy, make the rest of us sick. And you watch them, what on earth? They have a different capacity. And I don't understand it, but maybe we'll relate more to the next one. So he who had the two talents made two talents more. There isn't the same time sequence at once and all of that. But over a period of time, the time period is not made known to us. He made two more. And but what's really interesting is look at the next verse, verse 18. He who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And that was such a bad plan. Anyone who understands a multiplier, the master is a multiplier. The five talent guy is a multiplier. The two talent guy is a multiplier. Now everybody's not a multiplier. And the guy who got one, he didn't need to go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. He could have just gone 1, 2, 3, 4. He's an addition guy. And lots of people are addition people. And if you'll just be faithful adding and adding and adding, you can do a lot with your life, even if you're not a multiplier, even if you don't think that way. But think this way. Everyone has to show an increase. Whatever God has given to you, someday, soon, you're going to be standing before Him, and He's going to want to know, what did you do with what I gave you? That's it. I hope we're all getting this. You know, your pastor's doing you a favor when he... Didn't you love it in school when the teacher would tell you what was going to be on the test ahead of time? Everybody studied, just so you know, chapter 4, page 15 is super important. They're like, write that down, you know. That's what's happening at church today. You have an appointment in the future. It's already circled on the calendar in red. It's when you're going to stand before the maker of your soul, your master and king, Jesus Christ. That's who you say he is. You say he's my master and my king. Right, and you have an appointment coming with him, and he's going to say to you, what did you do with what I gave you? And you're going to have to give an answer for that, loved ones. So I'm that teacher. I must be super popular right now, making you all ready for the test. Make no mistake about it. Different people have different abilities. Accept it. Not every investment is a good one. And some people think that Jesus is okay with anything, and he isn't. And that's what this parable is really about. Not every investment is a good one. Not every investment is a good one. And when you come to the difficult decision of, you know, I think I'm going to have to stand up to my son about this. I think I'm going to have to challenge my employee about this. I think I'm going to have to speak to my small group participant about this. And anytime you have to say, not quite, we're going to have a little more there. I can just tell you from experience that doesn't always go great. What's really interesting is the $5 a day people, they're like, tell me anything, help me, change me, grow me, what do I need? But the people that are struggling with performance are also, not surprisingly, also struggling with feedback and how to accept it well and benefit from it. It's so interesting because the feedback's about to come. Look at this third thing. ROI is a necessity. Demand it. You're like, demand it? Would Jesus demand anything? Well, you're not going to be ready for your appointment if you think that he wouldn't. So notice in verse 19, some important words. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. I want to point out a couple of things in the text here. Notice first of all, the master. Our master is Jesus Christ the Lord. If you profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a master. You're not the boss of your life. You're not in charge of your time. You're not in charge of your gifts. Well, I don't like where I'm serving right now. I'm going to go do whatever I want. You better check on that. You better check on that. Because you're not here for yourself. I really don't think there's going to be many people that, I don't know what you think about this, Pastor Jeff, but I don't think many of us are going to get in the suffered for Christ line up in heaven. Do you know what people have suffered for Jesus Christ through the centuries? And what's this big hardship that you can't bear up under? Tell me again what it is. You're going to show up in heaven to people who gave their life for Jesus Christ, who suffered and were tortured but would not recant and spoke his name at the cost of their life. And you're going to say, well, you know, it's been a little tiresome this month. Really? Really? So keep this in mind. We have a king. We have a master. We do his bidding. How many Sundays would I have not shown up for church in the last 10 years if I got to do what I wanted? I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. So notice that in verse 19. Notice that there's a master. And then notice the master of those servants came and settled accounts with him. This is the compelling motivation for every Christ follower, that this settling of accounts is coming. How many people know from the, hands up if you know from the business world what settling accounts means. Hands up if you know what that is. Right? So I lent you my rototiller and you didn't bring it back. It's time for us to settle up, neighbor. I advanced you this much commission to sell this product in this territory. Now you've received the paycheck. I noticed you cashed it. I haven't heard of any sales yet. It's time to, say it, settle accounts. It's time to time to settle accounts. And so the story is a picture of something familiar to help us know what it's going to feel like when that day comes. But instead of it being a rototiller we owe our neighbor, or an amount of money that was advanced for sales of a product in a territory, it's going to be your talent, which is your capacity to be used by God for good on this earth while you have breath. How's that going? We see someone in need at the grocery store and we think about whether we should stop and care for them as though we have an option. And we know there are people where we work who don't know anything about Jesus Christ, and we wrestle with whether we should tell them as though the decision is ours. We have a master and we're going to have to settle accounts with him. But here's the problem. Notice also in verse 19, I've slowed down here a bit for the content. Notice, here's the problem. After a long time. I mean, everybody's good if they know that the exam's at, if you know that the exam's at 2 o'clock this afternoon, what are you going to do after church? I'm going to study. I did not realize the exam was that close. I will now go and study, because if I told you that your appointment with Jesus Christ was Tuesday at noon, every person here would make significant adjustments if they're following Christ. Easy, quick call. I'm on it. Everything I've left undone now goes to the top of the list. It won't matter if I eat or sleep. I'll get it all done. Leave it with me. The problem's the time. Because there's such a gap between commissioning and accounting, the length of time between investment of capacity and accounting for productivity tempts us to laxity. Am I right? All right? And isn't that why we come to church? I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that why we come to church? I mean, we come to church to be blessed, and we come to church to be encouraged. We also come to church to be shaken up a little bit. Now you say, he's a very big man. I should be. But I was confident of a good reaction. Don't we also want to be shaken up a bit? Aren't we tempted to laxity? Don't we need someone to say, hey, it's coming sooner than you think? What have you done with what I've given you? What have you done with it? The question's coming, and it's coming so certainly and so quickly that we should have this in front of us at all times. ROI, which means return on investment, is a necessity. Demand it. And by the way, this isn't a random parable, can I just say? Parables on accountability for what we've been given. The wise and foolish builders, Luke 6. Watchfulness, Luke 12. Faithful and wise servant, Luke 12. Unfruitful fig tree, Luke 13. Parable of the soils, master and the servant, shrewd manager, workers in the vineyard, the 10 servants and the 10 minas, wise and wicked servants, watchful servants, parable of the 10 talents. I mean, Jesus is talking about this all the time. I was on the phone with some of our senior staff recently, with Henry Cloud, who's been just a great resource and asset to our church. If you haven't read the book Boundaries or Boundaries for Leaders or Necessary Endings, he said this sentence to us, and for me it was just like a poof. Because we were saying, you know, it's just hard to manage people. It's hard to get the most from people. It's just hard. And people in the church, frankly, aren't always that supportive, because if you're trying to get the best from their friend, they don't like that. We said to Henry Cloud in regard to a couple of people, said, well, but people really like them. He says, yeah, because they don't have to be their boss. And some of you have seen this in the marketplace too. I'm so thankful that this kind of a message comes on my heart at a time where there is no significant issue that we're battling, but I can tell you for a fact, this is not some anomaly. I showed you the parables, now let's get to the end of this one. Notice the individuality. He who had received came forward. Verse 20, and he who had received the five talents came forward. Just one guy all by him. Where's his mom? Where's his wife? He's just there by himself. He came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Do you think this guy was fired up? This guy's in a pretty good mood, right? I mean, this doesn't have to be bad news this day that's coming. If you've done your best, that's all he asks, just your best, just your best. If you've done your best, he's like, five more, check it out. And his master said to him, verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Notice that faithful, see, how did that guy get that much? Faithful over a little. Faithful over a little. You say, well, I feel like I've been faithful and I've had a setback. It's not over yet, though, is it? All right? So keep trusting the Lord for that. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. What is the joy of the master? What is that? The joy of the master is the joy of multiplied opportunity. That's the greatest joy there is. I have a place. I have a job. I did my thing. It produced results. Now I got a bigger place and a bigger thing and an opportunity for more results. The joy of the Lord is multiplied opportunity. And multiplied opportunity comes through faithfulness, nose to the grindstone, giving it everything you have. Now this. And he who also had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me two talents. Here I have made two more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Same as we saw before. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But here comes this guy. He who also had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. And that's said about all employers who are doing their job. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. What's he saying really here? Well, he's. Do you have it? Look, I'll give you another second. What's he saying? Make a note of this. Blame the boss is a proverb. He's blaming the boss. This is what they always do. He's like, okay, what? I gave you one. What'd you come up with? Well, I was afraid. Okay. No, I don't want you to be afraid. Why were you afraid? Because of you. Because of what you're like. You're the problem. I'm actually not the problem. I'm fairly good at this. I just have so much I needed to share it with other people. I probably could have made that one into something. What'd you make it into again? And why is it all dirty? Back in the late 90s, Kathy and I built a house in Palatine. And I'd never done that before. And it was just as our kids were going into high school. Man, I had no idea what we were getting ourselves in for. Anybody ever build a house? You had no idea what you're getting yourself in for, right? So they dug the hole, put the foundation in, put the first floor on, put the second floor on, put the roof on, put the sides on, put the stairs in. I think the electrical and the plumbing was going in, something like that. And I went over to kind of look at the progress that they were making, and I noticed that there was this big column at the bottom of the stairs to the second floor. Just this big column at the bottom of the stairs. I was like, I don't think that's in the plan. I went back and looked at the blueprint they'd given me and the contract that we'd signed for and the deal that was made. And yeah, sure enough, there was no column in the middle of the original plan. So I went over to meet with the builder thinking that he'd be super appreciative of my pointing out to them that they were kind of off plan. That was not his response. He said, yeah, well, we made a little change to the plan. I said, no problem. I'm sure that'll be wonderful for all the people that you'll be building the house for. subsequent to building for me the house that we agreed to. I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. So when will we be able to get this column out of the middle of my living room? He said, yeah, well, like I'm saying, we're not changing it. Like, we just decided to build it a bit differently. And you know, they always make you go there, right? Okay, well, what I'm saying is that it isn't okay. And I want you to build what we agreed that you would build. So put it back the way that it's supposed to be. Soon. So then he just, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. I was like, well, think about that for a second. Because then I'm going to have to have my attorney write your attorney a letter and say that you should actually do the thing that you signed and said you would do. That's what we have to do. And as soon as I said that, he looked at me and he said, I thought you were a pastor. So I said, well, if by that you mean easy to rip off, you thought wrong. Now, I've been leading a church long enough to know that a lot of Christians will hear that story that I just told, and they'll think that I blew it. They're like, come on, man, don't you know what Jesus said? You got to turn the other cheek, man. You got to go the second mile. You got to, if he asks for your coat, give him your outer coat too. Come on, Pastor James, don't you know? No, but. I would beg with you to stop confusing how we handle personal offenses with how we handle business dealings. See, I'm not offended by him. I don't have a relational problem with him. I have a legal matter to settle with him. And the Bible says that the powers that be, including the court system, is an authority established by God for the punishment of wrongdoers. We have arbiters in our society, which God has provided, to handle such matters so that we don't need to create an offense in the tone or manner of our objection. We can just simply withdraw and send a letter, and maybe we'll win, maybe we'll lose, but we needn't lose our testimony. And someone who would say to you, well, I thought you were a pastor, is really just revealing that they don't understand the New Testament very well and that they have an overly sympathetic view of how Jesus is. The master in the parable is Jesus Christ. And if you're not ready to meet the one of whom the scripture says his eyes are like a flame of fire, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword with which he will strike the nations, loving and patient and kind and good to his own, but insistent on a return on his investment. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Now, some of us just have had the wrong mindset. And let's go through verse 24 and 25 as we get to a close here. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, I knew you to be this and this and this. He's blaming his boss. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Not good. His master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. Now, I hope you wouldn't write something like that on a performance review. Remember that only Christ knows people's hearts. All we can evaluate is what they do. And love believes the best, so we always believe that people have good motives. We don't know what's in people's hearts. But about this one whose heart Christ could see, wicked is bad-hearted, slothful is lazy. You knew that I, and he quotes his own words back to him, you knew that I was like that, did you? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, that at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. In other words, if you can't make one into two, you can at least make it into 1.2. There's going to need to be some increase of some kind, or there's going to be a problem. Now look up here. What do you suppose is going to be the problem if you have no increase of any kind to show? Well, interesting. So many of us struggle with this mindset that we have to show an increase. Make a note of some of these common mindsets. There's the avoider. I'm sure some of you are like, I told you we should have just gone out for breakfast. Love you. The avoider said wants to get away. There's the sufferer. I've mentioned that already. They just want to get through, just survive. Just get through another week. And surely there are times like that, but not for our whole life. Then there is the rationalizer. You just want to get around all this. There'll be an exception for me. There'll be a hall pass. There'll be a particular clause that I can use to scoot by. Then the avenger, they're off plan completely. They're just trying to get even and get back for the things that have been done to them. Then there's the achiever. You think that must be the best guy. They don't want to get away or get through or get even. They want to get ahead. You know, want to get ahead of the market, want to get ahead of the crowd, want to get ahead of my peers, want to get ahead of my siblings, the competition. No, here's the mindset. The mindset is a manager. The followers of Jesus are to have the mindset of a manager. I'm going to get a return. If my life were to end today, you should be able to say. If my life were to end today, God forbid, if my life were to end today, there'll be people here that follow Christ because I was here. There'll be people here who serve Christ because I was here. There'll be people here who love him more because of how they saw him in me, imperfectly portrayed, but attractive nonetheless, and they loved him more because they saw how I loved him. That's a life. That's a return on an investment. Life is not a right, it's a privilege, and if it's been granted to you by the maker of you, there's going to need to be a return. And finally this, God demands our best, live it. Different people have different abilities, accept it. Not even in every investment is a good one, watch it. ROI, necessity, demand it. Blame the boss as a proverb, just expect it. And I would just say to moms on Mother's Day, it isn't right, but it's what happens, right? Some moms, I couldn't just let that go. I know. It's not fun being in charge. It's not fun being mom and dad. It's not fun being boss. It's not fun being employer. It's not fun being small group leader or counselor or pastor or boss or business owner. Anyone who has any of that knows this. Do what's right. Trust the master. Do what's right in the best way you can. And trust the master. When you're wrong, admit it. Do what you can to make it right. God demands our best. Live it. Notice how the parable ends. Shockingly, take the talent from him, verse 28, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. That's how some people get so much. And why some have so little. But it's worse. The one who loses the talent, look up here. The one who loses the talent is evidencing that they never really knew the master. Bearing fruit does not make you a Christian, but it does prove that you are. Jesus said in Matthew 7, by their fruits you will know them. The Bible's so consistent. John chapter 15 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away and thrown into the fire. Matthew 15, 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch. The branches are gathered and thrown into the fire. That's a picture of hell. Look at this. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it is true today as it always is. I had a man come up to me last night. I'd never seen him before. I don't think he's ever been to our church before. He's going in for some very, very, very serious tests, and he was by appearance quite old. Listen, and he believes that his life is over. And here's this man, I won't try to guess his age, but with tears, I borrowed some money, I couldn't pay it back. I wanted to pay it back, but I didn't have the resources to pay it back. What if I'm this worthless servant? And I said, you're not. Because the people who are convicted right now, the people who are grieved about this, the people who want more than anything to be faithful to the master are proving, that's one of the fruits, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. That tenderheartedness, I gotta take it up a notch. That's the response of a genuine believer, and greater usefulness to the Lord will be the result of that in your life. It's the one who's like, I don't need to hear this. I don't need to hear this. It's that asserting of the right to control and choose is the evidence of the worthless servant. It's your fault. But I'm persuaded of better things concerning you. So bow with me in prayer. Father, we're grateful to be called your children through faith in Jesus. We're grateful for your word and its clarity. And while it isn't necessarily, I wouldn't call it enjoyable to be reminded that you have an eye on all of this, we feel grateful the way we feel when an alarm goes off, or the way we feel once a month when we hear that air raid siren. It's like there's safety in being reminded of what you expect. And we want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be faithful and fruitful for you and for your kingdom. So we ask for a greater awareness of your presence, a greater alertness to those that we can touch and help and influence. Give to every yielded heart an obvious opportunity to speak up for you this week, and help us to seize it with the joy of our master and do what we can. Forgive our closed mouths, forgive our fearful hearts, and where we serve, let us serve faithfully in our church and in our homes and where we work, and let us be a light for the great light, Jesus Christ, who is coming soon, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.